In my first message on biblical prophecy and eschatology, I spoke on what we believe and why we believe it. I used a graphic example of a 3D hanging puzzle to illustrate the detailed pieces and how we need to hang them in the right way and suspend them from the right framework in order to give us the correct picture. In order to find the right pieces of the puzzle, we need to rightly divide and interpret the Bible, allowing the scripture to interpret itself through the lenses of history, of culture, and also of grammatical concerns and considerations as well. In my second message, I spoke on the miracle of Israel and how we can know from the Bible that we are in the end times, and how God spoke thousands of years ago through the prophets, speaking of how he would reform again the nation of Israel in the end times. And that's perhaps the greatest sign, I believe, that we are in the end times. But today I want to speak on deception and truth in the end times. Deception and truth. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 1. Matthew 24 verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses out of there. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you see all of these? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation in various places, and all of these are the beginnings of sorrows." Some versions say the beginnings of birth pains. Down to verse 11, and it says, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." In verse 24, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Jesus has answered the disciples' questions with regard to both the destruction of the temple and as to when he is coming back again to his return. And one word, the word deceive, keeps coming up and being repeated. And I want to make a few observations with regards to deception in the end times. Deception actively stirs up discord and disharmony. Disharmony encourages disunity, disagreement, divergence, and dissension from the truth. Dissension from the truth leads to duplicity and disinformation. And disinformation leads to disarray and disorder. In short, what you have is disastrous chaos. And chaos leads to delusion, and ultimately, delusion leads to deception. There's a lot of alliteration in there, but if you follow the trail through, it's basically deception leads to destruction, ultimately. Now, there are many areas that I could speak on when it comes to deception. You know, the political arena, with regards to, you know, perhaps local, state, national, international, even global governance, multinational organizations in the areas of health and the pharmaceutical industry, medicine, the entertainment industry, film, television, the arts, education and academia, the media and all of its various forms. You get Clint up here and he could talk about that for a long time. Advertising, science and technology, artificial intelligence and the fields that they cover. It's going to be a big disruptor going forward. Deep fakes and all of those kinds of things that we're seeing a little bit of now. The business sector, banking and finance, social engineering, religion and spirituality, human interaction and relationships. And I am sure that we could add more to that list as well. It's not comprehensive. All of these areas just mentioned are experiencing greater and increasing levels of deception flowing from the top down, seeking to drench the grassroots of all humanity. And rather than speaking on the many areas of deception in various different fields of human endeavor, I want to focus on what the Bible has to say. For all the many biblical warnings of events, signs, and trends leading up to the last days, there is one word, one concept that is repeated more often and above everything else, and that is the word deception. Why is it that Jesus repeated in his warning about deception four times in Matthew chapter 24? He did not repeat warnings about natural disasters, and yet the book of Revelation is full of, with all of its various seals and trumpets and bowls, it's filled with earthquakes, floods, pestilences, famines of all sorts. Jesus does repeat his warning about false Christs, and yet he mentions nothing about the demonic assault that we're going to see upon the earth that we read about in Revelation chapter 13. From a scriptural perspective and point of view, deception is the biggest issue facing humanity in the end times. From the scripture's perspective, it is the biggest issue facing humanity. The scriptures clearly describe a world in the end times that's rejected God's truth, has rejected his word and his decrees. The world we live in today, its systems and its people have been caught up and have moved on from merely ignoring and rejecting God's word. Now they want to rail against God himself. There's an open proclamation that defies his word and seeks to establish a new truth, forcing issues through by flooding media channels with an antichrist, leftist, Marxist narrative and a rule of law. Now, I'm not really wanting to make this kind of a political statement per se. I'm just wanting to observe and bring before you, I guess, the facts and the truth of what we're seeing and observing right at this point. Totalitarian rule is advancing while Christianity is increasingly being forced out of the public sphere. The first point that I want to make is fallen humanity has been deceived into believing a lie. Like Eve in the Garden of Eden, Satan has deceived people into believing a falsehood that contradicts God's word. There is a massive global demonically inspired push to suppress the truth and deceive people into believing a lie. What is it? What is that lie that people believe? Essentially, the lie that human beings that can redeem themselves from the mess that we find ourselves in. That we can be our own God and that nothing is impossible for us. And our technology actually, it begins to empower that belief within us. We are in fact in the process of experiencing a second Tower of Babel in humanity. Through modern technology, we're seeing a reversal of the process of being spread out across the globe. And we're actually beginning to come together more and more. Using the interconnectedness of the internet, globalization, artificial intelligence, fallen humanity is working together, seeking to dethrone God and to challenge his word. Fallen humanity is setting their own sense of morality and truth, even as they reject the reality and the truth of the one who created everything in the universe, both the seen and the unseen. As a result, God's wrath is upon all people who suppress the truth. We're living in a days of great suppression of truth and also great deception. People now say, we'll determine our own truth. We'll determine our own future. We'll even determine our own gender. We will determine what marriage is, what family is, and much more. God says we're made in his image, male and female. Humanity says, well, we're just an accident of nature. We all determine our own way in life, and each one begins to establish and discover their own micro universe of truth. However, they ignore the fact that God created everything, and that actually includes truth. We don't create our own personal truth. God's perspective and his truth is the ultimate truth over all things, and everything must submit to that. Romans chapter 1 begins to describe what happens when people reject the truth as witnessed to in God's creation. It's happened before in the past, It's not something new, and it's happening again right now. I guess the difference is right now we're seeing it having a global reach, and it's got a far greater saturation and intensity than it's ever happened before in history. In the past 5 to 7 years, we've seen a multitude of laws, legislation and policies that is happening all around the world. And it flies in the face of accepted scientific facts, established understanding, and also wisdom. All happening as if in a coordinated rollout across the globe. The vulnerable are targeted, the unborn, children, and the elderly. The inspiration and the motivation for such changes is purely demonic. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." God said, "Be fruitful and multiply," in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Humanity says, "The world is overpopulated, so babies are aborted in their countless numbers, and the elderly and the infirm are assisted to die." Policies are being enacted worldwide that are forcing a limit on agricultural production. It's happening right now. I think we're going to see a lot more of it coming out next year, in fact. Those policies that are reducing or limiting that agricultural production are going to produce a food scarcity. Even though currently the world's farmers produce enough food to feed approximately 10 billion people. Now, that's nearly 1.5 times the population that we have in the world. The problem we have is actually learning to share and distribute it properly. So I ask you, what are you believing this morning? Is it the lies of the world, or is it the truth of God's word? My second point is, the facts are this world is a mess. The facts are this world is a mess. The foundations of the truth of God's word are being attacked and demolished at an incredible speed right across the globe. Darkness is being called light. Light is being called darkness. And the moral fabric of society is disintegrating. And as a result, the systems of this world are really being shaken to the very core. Financial foundations are shaking under the weight of a global debt time bomb. That interest has got to be paid somewhere. That time bomb's going to go off eventually. Darkness is being called light. Light is being called darkness. Moral foundations are being demolished under the scourge of abortion, sexual immorality, and same-sex marriage, with the whole redefinition of family and marriage. Now, I know I'm touching on some sensitive topics this morning. I realize that. But I'm really coming at it. I'm just stating what is and what God's word has to say about it. There is a gender confusion of every sort that's pervading right through society at the moment. And long-held moral values are being rejected in favor of a new morality that isn't really a morality at all. People now are not just condoning what God condemns, they are actually celebrating what God condemns. And then they're taking it a step further and challenging what God commands. Political foundations are shaking as common ground is actually vanishing, and in its place is being offered to us very polarizing politics. There is a breakdown of law and order as more and more people are addicted to rage and lawlessness. We have alarming rates of suicide, substance abuse, and addictions to every vice. Human trafficking or modern-day slavery and exploitation is off the charts. Tens of millions are trapped in modern-day slavery, in forced marriage, in forced labor, in prostitution, and even in organ removal. Now, that figure of 40 million is actually derived by the United Nations. That's what they estimate. They estimate that up to 40 million caught in modern-day slavery. Forbes magazine reports that human trafficking earns globally profits of roughly $150 billion, with two-thirds of that, $99 billion, coming from sexual exploitation alone. The 18th century slavery abolitionists would be horrified at those numbers. They really would. They really would. Exploitation, sexualization, and indoctrination of our children is happening under the guise of education. There's a rise of antichrist religions and cults that are operating out in the open. Melbourne is under such a dark demonic cloud. I've said that before, perhaps not from the front, but Melbourne is under such a dark demonic cloud. Don't think the deception can't happen to you because you're a Christian. I know of at least two major cults that are canvassing in Melbourne, particularly operating in universities and targeting young people. They are deceptive by twisting the meaning of Scripture and very cunning in the way they go about recruiting. And gradually, without you even noticing, they bind you up in spiritual chains. At the head of these cults are men claiming to be Christ, to be the Anointed One. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "But I am not surprised." This is Paul speaking. "Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Jesus in Matthew 24 spoke of many false Christs that would rise up to deceive many. If you do a quick search on the internet, you will quickly find that there have been hundreds, if not thousands, of documented self-appointed Christs. And this is only going to increase as we get closer and closer towards the end of the age. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11, you'll see that it says, "Many false prophets will rise up to deceive many." The function of a prophet is to foretell and to forthtell on behalf of God. There's an interesting phenomena that's taking place with younger people that have generally rejected organized religion. And yet one in five, and this is a United States statistic, though I believe it would be pretty right for most of the Western world. One in five young people have admitted to consulting a medium, a psychic, or an astrologer. False prophets are growing in number, and the popularity is becoming more and more as more and more young people, or people full stop actually, are turning to them for spiritual advice. Unrighteousness is no longer hiding in the shadows. It displays itself in public with pride. Deception and delusion are so strong today that they operate in plain sight. And regrettably, more and more people don't discern the danger because they don't know the truth. Deception is a spiritual power and it seeks to get a stronghold over people's life. We are not wrestling with, you know, flesh and blood. These are spiritual powers and they mean business. And their business is to kill, to steal, and to destroy lives. Jesus said that before he would return to this world, that the world would resemble the days as it was of Noah before the flood and the days of Lot before the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. In both of those comparisons, Jesus said that the unbelieving world would be just seeing business as usual and they would be unaware of the judgment about to fall upon them. More and more people will dismiss the warnings of God and the proclamation of the church to repent and to be reconciled with God through the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's why we have to rescue as many as we can while we still have the opportunity. The gospel and the good news. My third point is truth has a name. Truth has a name. Truth is a concept that's been debated by philosophers, excuse me, and theologians for centuries. W.E. Vine describes truth, or defines truth, as being the basis that lies at the reality of an appearance, the verifiable essence of a matter. According to the Oxford Dictionary, truth is the quality or the state of being true. It can also refer to that which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. In other words, truth is a statement or a belief that accurately reflects the world as it is. And truth must also key into reality in a consistent way. It's got to fit. Truth is important because it helps us make sense out of the world around us. It helps us to distinguish the difference between what is real and what is not real. However, determining the truth can be difficult, and that's where we need the discernment of the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God, and we need God's wisdom. We need all of those three. Without them, we are unable to properly and accurately discern what is truth. It needs to be an outside revelation. You know, without that revelation that comes into this broken world that we have, we end up in a very lost state. Truth it's important, yes, because it helps us make sense of the world around us. Let's go to John chapter 14 and verse 6. John 14, 6. Jesus, and he's speaking to Philip here. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The way of God and the way to God is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. The truth of God, the truth about God, and the only truthful perspective of God in all things is a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. Life, that is this life and eternal life to come, is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. God's one and only Son, God's anointed King and Messiah, the only Saviour of the world and the Lamb for sinners slain. There is no political Saviour of this world. There is no political Saviour of this world. Let me tell you something I read while I was preparing this message that helped me understand this concept a little better. I want to explain to you very briefly the difference between governance and politics, or government, if you like, and politics. Government and governance is God's idea. You'll see it all through the Scripture, from beginning right to the end. And God is the head of all government. And we are actually being tasked under Him to govern and rule this world. You can read that through Genesis. You can read it right through to the end when we come back with Christ to rule and reign with Him. Politics is when fallen humanity kicks God out of His rightful place as the head of all government and then seeks to rule in His place without His truth and His word, without Him. When we get that, we get politics. And the fact is we all know politics is a mess. So there's just a real difference in between the two of those. And that just helped me to understand the fact that although the Antichrist will come, he will come as a political saviour who mediates a peace deal that appears like he finally will solve the Arab-Palestinian-Israeli conflict once and for all, the one that's been raging for decades. Eventually, he's going to come on the scene. We don't know when, but eventually, and he's going to seemingly solve that. But 3.5 years into a 7-year treaty, he's going to actually backtrack on that. And we could talk a lot about that. You know, I believe that that treaty is in fact already in place. That word treaty, I'm sidetracking here a little bit, but the word treaty can also mean that when it begins to talk about that treaty, rather, it's that it's not just that a new treaty is put in place, but it can be actually establishing or re-establishing or reconfirming an already established treaty. And I think it's very interesting if you have a look at the Abraham Accords and what has been established already with those. And I could go on for far too long about that, so I won't, because that's sidetracking away from it. But, you know, it's really interesting. So many of the building blocks that we need to see in place for the end times are already there. They're already happening. A lot of it's already taking place. Now, I'm not saying that we're in the great tribulation. I'm not saying we're there yet. What I'm saying is that the big pieces of the puzzle are actually, most of them are in place. Most of them are in place. Anyway, I had no intention to say any of that, but the scripture exhorts us to be alert. You know, many believers today are often looking to see who the Antichrist is. Is he on the scene yet? Who is he? But the scripture exhorts us to be alert and to be ready and watching for the return of Christ, Jesus Christ, not the rise of the Antichrist, not the some other than Jesus Christ. And yet I feel often that we can get a little bit misfocused or looking in the wrong direction. We need to look up. Amen. We need to keep our focus on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's no political savior that's on the horizon, not now and not into the future. Don't be looking to a government, a non-government organization, or even a business or any human being to fix this world up. All those things that I mentioned before are not going to be fixed by any human being. But there is a soon coming King of all kings, and he will come with righteousness in his train, and he will address sin once and for all. Because God cannot lie, Jesus is not a truth. He is the truth. He's the source of all truth, and he is the source of all things that were created through him and for him. He holds all of creation together by his word. The wind and the waves remembered him. When he spoke, "Peace be still," they remembered. He is the visible image of the invisible God. And so God, in all of his fullness, was pleased to dwell in Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. The greatest battle that the church faces as we move into the end time will be the battle for the truth. The world around us is running away from and rejecting God's truth. But we need to turn towards him, to run to him, and to embrace him, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. The only way to be sure that you don't fall into deception, there is one, only one way, and that is to be born again, to personally be born again of the Spirit of God, and to personally meet the truth, the risen Jesus Christ. Then stay close and intentionally live your life closely to him. Closely to him in all things. And the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. That's the next promise that came after John 14:6. Jesus said, this is the promise of the Father. I'm going to send him the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth who will lead you into all truth. Who is truth? Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks, I think, in about John 16, and he says, he will bring to mind, he will bring to your remembrance my words. Amen. That's what the Spirit of truth does. And so this morning, I'd really like to come and pray for us, because I think we have a really important mission in this time, in these times, in terms of spreading the truth. You know, Christmas time, the end of the year, is often a time we get together, friends, family, neighbours, you know, loved ones, Christmas parties, street parties, all sorts of different gatherings and getting together. And sometimes people don't like to hear the truth. Speaking to a family member of mine recently that was going on about Christmas, and it was really great, and I then spoke and said, yeah, but we wouldn't have Christmas if it weren't for Jesus. He's the real meaning and the reason for Christmas. That brought offense immediately. But hey, they're family. They have to love me, so it doesn't matter. and you know, that's the truth of the matter, you know, in it all. I mean, I didn't bring it in an offensive way. I said that, and then I said, you know, for me and for my family, we want to embrace the true meaning of Christmas. But it's funny, isn't it? Jesus said it, the truth offends. The truth offends. Whenever you can mention any religion you like out in secular society. You can even mention Christianity, that's not a problem. Mention the name of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden there's problems. Every single time, there's problems. I just want to come and pray for us this morning. I'd like to pray for those who are believers and also those who perhaps, I don't know if there's anybody here, but if there's anybody who's yet to meet the King of Kings, to have that experience of meeting with the risen Christ. I also wanted to pray because as I was preparing this word, something that came to me was that I believe that there might be a few people here this morning that have been experiencing a fogginess, like a fog in their mind, a fogginess in their thinking, particularly with regards to the things of the Word and to the truth, you know, to getting your head in that place where you can actually begin to understand and receive God's Word. And so if that's you this morning, I want to pray for you. Please come and let me know afterwards. You know, if there's a fogginess, if there's been a clouding in your mind, I want to pray for you this morning. But if we can all stand for a minute, I'd like to pray for all of us. Thanks for bearing with me. I know that this was not an easy word. It was a heavy word. It was a heavy word. But sometimes we need to hear heavy words. And if heavy words bear with it the truth, then we have to be open to that. And so let's come and pray. Lord, I thank you that you are the source of all truth. Thank you, Jesus, you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the risen Christ, the Lamb for sinners slain. Thank you, Almighty God, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and all truth lives in and resides within you. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which is truth. Thank you, Lord, you have declared, Jesus, you said, John 17:3, that your word is truth. God's word is truth, and we thank you for that. Lord, we just want to be open to receive your word this morning, your biblical word. May any words that I have had to say, anything that has come from my heart, Lord, may it just drop to the ground. May it just disappear. May it only stay with people the things that you want to impress upon them this morning. Oh, Father God, Jesus, you said that your yoke is easy, your burden is light. So let nobody go with a heaviness of heart this morning, but let everyone go with a lightness, oh Lord God, of your yoke and your burden. Oh, Father, I thank you so much that even in these end times, you have sent us the Spirit from the very beginning who has stayed with us right through. And he leads us into all truth. At the end of the year, as we're coming up to these opportunities where we have to share your truth, O Lord God, may we do it with yes, a lightness, but with an authority and a conviction and an anointedness from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because it's only your word that saves. It cannot be our words. It cannot be any clever schemes of man. It's not our works. It's nothing that we can do. It is but your word and your finished work on the cross, Jesus, that enabled that to happen. And so we pray this morning. Lord, if there's anyone this morning that doesn't know you, I just pray this morning, God, that you would reveal yourself in a mighty and a powerful way. Lord, that they would know your presence, that they would know your anointing, and that this morning, oh Lord, they do business with you. And come and meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do in our lives today and each and every day. As Clint read this morning, the mercies of the Lord are new each morning. Thank you, Lord. Your love endures forever. Your mercies are always new. And your never-ending love. I love that it's a phrase from an author. She describes your love as the never-ending, never-giving-up, always and forever love of Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord. May it be with us always, we pray. And may we also be ambassadors who give it out in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.